Hi, listeners. Today we are still continuing on the subject of maturing of the body of Christ and preparing the body of Christ to do the works that God wants them to do in these end times before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is preparing and raising up the body of Christ to be mature believers so that he can accomplish his will and his purpose through the body of Christ before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great work to be done. God is preparing the body of Christ, and as they renew their minds through the Word of God and begin to understand God's plans and purposes in these end times for the body of Christ, and begin to understand the vision of God and get hold of the revelation of the vision of God that he has for these end times for the body of Christ. And as they begin to grow in these areas, God will begin to take each believer and build them up and equip them to the work that he has created them for. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When we get born again, we were created in Christ Jesus, and we have the Spirit of God living in us. As we got born again, we were created in Christ, in Christ. That means we have Christ living in us. He's in us and we are in him. It is a love union. Christ and the believer has been united. So we are created in Christ. Each believer is created in Christ, and Christ is living in us, and we are his workmanship to do good works, which God prepared in advance, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has already prepared our works in advance. Each one of us, we have things that God has planned for us to do, and he has already prepared it in advance. So now God wants us to come to a place, each believer to come to their place of fulfilling the purposes and plans that God has for them. You have a unique place in the body of Christ. You have a unique calling in the body of Christ. And you need to find out what that is so that you can fulfill it. I want to start with Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 15. We have read this scripture several times in the past few messages. I want to go back and read it again. Starting from verse 15, it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." He's praying for the church, and he's saying that God will give the church a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. Now, we are created in Christ Jesus, and we are following him, and he is the head of the church, and he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And God is saying he wants us to know him better and come into a relationship so that we will have an intimate relationship with him, so that we will understand his purposes and plans for our lives, so that he can fulfill it through our lives. In order for God to accomplish that, we have to have a spirit of wisdom and a revelation to know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So now he's praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we will know Him better. The only way we can know God, the only way we can know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, is through the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. And revelation, the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of wisdom, He releases the revelation into our hearts so that we can get to know Him better. Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal Jesus to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading from the King James. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse starting from verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." And that is the reason that Paul is praying this prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 17. He said that, "I'm asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Him better." This is the reason that we need to pray this prayer every day and seek for the revelation, so that according to 1 Corinthians 2:9, that we may be able to come to know the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. It says, "The eye have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Now, how are we going to receive this knowledge? Through a spirit of wisdom and revelation, as we begin to get to know Him better. Continuing on with 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Holy Spirit is the Spirit of revelation. He is the Spirit of wisdom and the revelation. Only the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. The things that we do not see or have heard or has entered into our hearts. Only the Holy Spirit knows, because He is God and He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And He is the only one who is able to reveal this into our hearts, because Jesus has already have sent Him to be our helper and our teacher and to be the Spirit of wisdom and the revelation, so we can get to know Him better. And then verse 11 it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." Spirit of God is the only one that knows the things of God. Just as your spirit knows about you, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He's saying we have not received the spirit of the world. As born again believers, we have received the Spirit of God. That's how we got born again. And he says we have received the Spirit of God so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Things that are freely given to us of God. Salvation, healing, deliverance, wisdom, hope, peace, His joy, to understand His love, to comprehend His love, the depth and the length and the width and the heights of His love, to understand His absolute holiness, His purity, His perfection, to understand the spiritual blessings that He has given to us in the heavenly realms. These are the things that God has given to us freely. because what Jesus did on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit has been sent so that we can know and understand these things that God has given to us freely, so we can begin to walk in freedom ourselves, so we can take that message of freedom to others that are lost. But we have to walk in freedom first before we can share it with others. Whatever the area of freedom that you are walking in, you are willing to share it with others. As born-again believers, we know the freedom from sin. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. And we can share the truth with those that have not yet been saved or born again. And we can share the gospel with them so they can be born again. And in the same way, if you are a person that you have understood that by His stripes you were healed and you have experienced healing or deliverance and freedom in your mind, you have understood what Christ did for you on the cross and you have been walking in freedom, not only in the area of freedom from sin, but also you have been walking in the area of freedom from sickness and disease and any oppression, anxiety and fear. You have been free from those things and you understand the Holy Spirit has shown you these things to you, to your heart, the things that God has given you freely. And as you begin to walk in those areas and as you begin to walk in freedom in these areas, you are able to minister that same freedom, the same comfort, the same grace that you have received to others. But it starts with you. You cannot give out something you don't have. And that's the reason we need to ask for the Spirit of wisdom and depend on the Spirit of wisdom and on the revelation knowledge to know Him better. And we can understand the things that have been given to us freely. Okay, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He's saying, which also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Man's wisdom cannot bring you into these areas of freedom which Christ purchased us on the cross. Man-made theologies and man-made doctrines that are circulating in the body of Christ cannot and will not bring the body of Christ to the maturity in Christ because it is unable. The only way that we can raise up the body of Christ into that glorious place of maturity in Christ, each believer as a mature believer in Christ, it has to be the Word of God preached under the inspiration and the anointing of God as the Holy Spirit gives us the revelation to this pure Word. Man-made theology and man-made doctrines are unable to bring the body of Christ to that place of maturity. This pure Word has to be taught under the inspiration and the revelation of the Holy Spirit and the revelation that He gives to this Word. Anytime man mixes his theology, his doctrines, man-made theology and man-made doctrines with this Word, it becomes muddy, it becomes corrupt, it becomes warped and twisted. It will not give the revelation to the body of Christ to understand these things that are freely given to us of God. And God wants to bring the body of Christ into that place to understand their inheritance, understand the immeasurable power that have been given to them, to understand, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, those spiritual blessings that have been given to us in the spiritual realms. Those man-made theology and doctrines will keep the body of Christ from coming into this realm of revelation and freedom and maturity in Christ, and those teachings will keep them as infants. And in these end times, God is trying to open the eyes of the understanding of the body of Christ, to know that we need to get back into this Bible, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit, and we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and begin to allow Him to show us the Word and open our understanding to these truths, and to get our minds renewed. Get our minds renewed so that you will be released from religion, those religious cobwebs. You will be free from those religious cobwebs of any erroneous teachings and theologies that do not line up with this Word. Whatever the teaching, whatever the preaching you are under, it has to line up with this Word. If it does not line up, and the only way you know that it is lining up with the Word is if you spend time in this Word yourself, you spend time in the Word and with the Holy Spirit and in the presence of God each day, then you will begin to understand, your eyes will be open, and you will understand these things. And whenever you hear something that is not 100% in line with this Word, you will know it instantly. Anything that does not line up with this Word will not bring you to maturity. Man's words, man's works are not going to raise up the body of Christ to its fullness and its maturity. And we have to understand this. And continue on with verse 13, it says that we need to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Everything that pertains to God, they have to be discerned spiritually. The natural man cannot discern the things of God. It's foolishness to him. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things that are pertaining to God, they have to be discerned spiritually. Your carnal mind will not comprehend it. And God is saying, if you try to figure things out in the Word with your carnal mind, you're going to come short. It only can be understood and discerned spiritually through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who can open your eyes. He's the one who can give you that revelation to that scripture, to open that scripture up to your understanding and to show you the application of it. He's the only one who can do it. Your carnal mind cannot do it. And that's the reason man-made theologies and doctrines cannot bring you to that place, because they have not been discerned properly through the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason we need to depend on the Holy Spirit in opening up the scriptures to our hearts. And it says, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How? Through the Holy Spirit, as He reveals the mind of Christ to us. That's the only way you and I will know the mind of Christ, through the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit opens our understanding and reveals His mind to us. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse starting from 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So he's praying for the church. First, he's praying that the church will have, the body of Christ will have spirit of wisdom and revelation, so we can know God better. And then he says that he also prays the eyes of our heart, that is our spirit man, may be enlightened. The eyes of the spirit man be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That you may know the hope to which he has called you. the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The glorious inheritance that we have in Christ. God wants us to know that inheritance. We have inheritance as we are joint heirs with Christ. And we have a glorious inheritance that has been given to us by God. And he's praying that our eyes of our understanding be enlightened, may be enlightened so we will understand the hope which he has called us into and the riches of the glorious inheritance. He wants us to understand the inheritance we have in Christ. My friends, think about the glorious Christ, the resurrected Christ, and everything that has been invested into him. And we have the access to that inheritance. And God wants us to know it. How? Through the Holy Spirit, as he enlightens our eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts. We will begin to understand the inheritance we have in Christ. The immeasurable power that has been given to us so we can accomplish his works on earth. In Ephesians 1:3 it says, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we can know every spiritual blessing in Christ, what they are. Do you know every spiritual blessing in Christ yet? If you don't, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to that understanding. So he will enlighten your eyes of your heart so you can begin to understand every spiritual blessing that he has given you in heavenly realms. Now you are seated in the heavenly realm with Christ. You are seated with him. You are given those spiritual blessings. You have a great inheritance and you have access to his immeasurable power. Now in order for you to understand all this, you have to ask for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and God will open the eyes of your heart and give you the revelation, the enlightenment, so that you can know these things in Christ. In order for you to fulfill God's work that he has for you, those good works that God has prepared in advance for you in Christ, these good works are done in Christ. These are not your abilities. These are not your works that you come up with, figure out what kind of work you are going to do for God. You are not coming up with your own agendas to do something for God. These are works that he has already pre-planned for you. As you understand these truths, you are able to fulfill those good works that he has pre-planned for your life. So God wants you to come to a place of maturing in Christ, receiving the understanding, so your mind can be renewed, so you can be freed from religion and all of man's teachings that do not line up with this word, and become free and understand this word the way the Holy Spirit spoke it, so that God can raise you up to be that mature believer into that fullness, the full measure and the stature of Christ, so he can accomplish his works through your life. God wants each believer to have a desire to know God in a greater way. If you do not hunger after God, if you do not thirst after God, you will be content to stay where you are. If you are just interested in the temporary things, the daily mundane things of life, you have no vision of what God wants you to do with your life, and you are just content to just go through life without ever seeking God or pursuing God, you will remain as an infant and you will never experience great things that God has planned for your life. You will never experience the joy of accomplishing his will for your life. And as believers in Christ, it's time for you to draw close to God and begin to seek God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And as the deer panteth for the water, the psalmist said, so I pant for God, for the living God, as the deer panteth for the water. The psalmist said this in Psalms 42, verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Does your soul thirst for God, or has it become dry? You cannot remember the last time you have sought God. You cannot remember the last time you have thirsted for God or been hungry for the things of God. In that case, you need to come back to God. Whatever that has kept you from seeking God and walking a walk that is pleasing to Him and walking with a close, intimate communion and a fellowship with Him. Whatever that has kept you from doing that, it's time to let it go. If you are serious about your walk, all you have to do is just repent and let go, whatever those things are in your life. If those things have become idols, just repent, let go. What God has to offer you is far greater than whatever you will have to let go of in this earthly life. Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with riches of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. God wants each believer to come to this place of earnestly seeking Him, a place where your soul always thirsts for Him, and nothing will satisfy you unless you are close to Him and you are walking with Him, with a communion, with a fellowship. There are many Christians that are in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. For whatever the reason, they have found themselves in that place. They are dry. They don't see the life of God moving and flowing through their lives because they have allowed worldly things to distract them. They have allowed selfishness or self-interest to distract them. And they may have allowed religion to keep them in a dry place, because religion will keep you in a dry place and a weary land. There's no freedom in that. It's a dry place. It's a weary place. There is no water. There's no true living water in that place. It's a living water of life that gives you life and keeps you alive in Christ, so that you are bringing forth fruit to God as you keep yourself in constant union with Him, a vital union with Him. And Jesus said we are to abide in Him, that abiding we live and move and have our being in Him. And some of you have not been doing that. Some of you can remember the time that you truly walked with Him and abided with Him and knew His presence and experienced His presence. And God wants you to come to a place of seeking Him. If you hunger and thirst for Him, you will seek Him. If you let go of your interests, other interests, your idols of your life, and you begin to pursue God, you will be brought into that place. The Holy Spirit will bring you to that place. And you will be fruitful, and you will accomplish His purpose and His plans for your life. God is inviting every believer to make a decision. You have to make a choice. He will invite you. He will invite you, and He will be patient with you. He's patient, He's merciful, His mercy endures forever. But you have to make that choice. And God is waiting for you to make that choice. It's up to you. You decide how far you want to go with God. You have to make that choice. If you come to a place and say, God, I totally surrender my life to you. I hold nothing back from you. Take my life. do whatever you want with my life and help me to accomplish your purpose, your plans through my life. If you make that choice, then God will take your life and He will make your life to hit the mark so that you can bring glory and honor and praise to His name. Amen.